are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour number two on this Monday. Jim Donovan in for Nathan Zagura today. Matt Wilhelm joins me, and he's here every day on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR. Just to recap what's gone on, Texgate has been cleared up and ruled upon by the NFL. Ray Farmer, a four-game suspension beginning at the start of the regular season. He will not be with the team, no contact with the team. It's much like a player suspension.
Yes, exactly.
When that
happens,
they cannot be around, they can't be in meetings, can't be in the building, can't be in the stadium on the day of the game. So that's for four games. $250,000 fine to the team, and no pay for Ray during the 4 weeks away. No loss of any draft choices. And that's been the point that we've kind of been... Well, not celebrating, but
no.
I mean, we've kind of been taking a sigh of relief that the Browns have not been hit with any losses in the way of draft choices.
Sure, and I think the reason why is because you have one fall guy instead of the entire organization, you know, struggling because of a draft pick lost.
On the other side, Atlanta, for pumping in fake crowd noise for about two seasons into the Georgia Dome, they lose their president, Rich McKay, loses contact and affiliation with the rules, the competition committee. The earliest that he can get back in is June 30th. That's a big thing to McKay. It's always been a big part and something that he's been very, very proud of being a part of, the competition committee. And it's a big committee to be a part of. $350,000 fine to the Atlanta Falcons, but they do lose a draft choice, not this year, next year,
yep.
And it's a fifth-round draft choice.
Correct.
Tony Grossi from ESPNCleveland.com is in studio downtown, and he joins us on this Monday. Tony, everyone, once again, just to paint the picture as we do on the radio, is outside their offices in the hallways with their ears glued to speakers, as you have made now your second appearance on Cleveland Browns Daily. What is your initial reaction to Texgate's discipline?
Well, I think it was fair by the NFL. I think if you had docked the Browns a draft pick, you're really penalizing their fans, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yes,
fans
yeah.
who are hoping that they score in as many draft picks as possible, and I think that would have been unfair. What they did was basically penalize Ray Farmer. I guess you could say if you're Ray Farmer, these are severe penalties. But if you're a Browns fan, they're not going to affect the bulk of the season at all.
Tony, walk us through, what is the effect of losing Ray Farmer for those four games? Because I think not even so much week one through week four once the season starts, it's that week prior to week one where there's so many significant transactions with waiver wire and free agents becoming available, when a lot of transactions happen and you revamp probably 15% of your roster at that point.
Well, the way – now maybe I'm wrong, but the way I read the Troy Vincent statement was that the suspension begins – Sunday at midnight of the home opener, mm-hmm. I mean of the opening game.
Right.
So the roster will have been tweaked already, set. The practice squad transactions would have been made. And then he goes on four games. Now, I went back and looked last year in the 4 weeks parallel to last year. The Browns made about 27 different player transactions. They were all very minor.
Yeah, was there any one of them that was visible to us?
There are four players still on the roster who were acquired in that uh-huh. 4 weeks. Linebacker Scott Solomon.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, well, there you go.
The,
yeah.
the long snapper who's now under contract, Charlie Huglet. The running back, Sean Drone.
Right.
Drone. And the wide receiver, Rodney Smith. They're all still on the roster. So probably in those first 4 weeks of a regular season, there are probably more transactions of a minor caliber in those 4 weeks than there are in the remaining 10 weeks or 12 weeks, because they're always redoing the bottom of their roster in the practice squad. So Ray Farmer, according to this statement, will not be involved in any of those. Now, where this can really affect the Browns would be if there were a season ending injury type situation.
Absolutely.
In those four
Absolutely.
Games where Ray would not be able to participate, from right. my understanding, in finding a replacement.
Do you remember, for instance,
Now, remember this with me, too, and I've brought up, do you remember when Ross Verba got hurt in the last preseason game? But also remember this, Tony. There was a year where they were going to open up, I think, against the Steelers, and Dave Zastadil injured his back. Remember that on Labor Day?
Yeah.
Okay? And they had to go out and get a punter. So you're right. If something catastrophic or something happened to a starter, you know, late in the preseason or in a practice right after the last game or something like that, now you got – now he's not there, right, to make that kind of call?
Right. Now, Jimmy, I recall, didn't Tim Couch in the first week of a season in a practice suffer an injury that required him to miss a few games? So they
yes, it was when he you're right. I think was it when he used to bang his thumb, Tony?
Yeah, on somebody's helmet.
Yeah,
it was
right.
At practice.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had to bring in, I think that was the year, I lose sight of it, but
it was the year they made the playoffs, and they actually they started the year, and then he was injured, and then very, very controversially, Butch brought him back for a game at Tennessee. And remember, they pulled it out in overtime when a lot of people think he shouldn't have played. And, of course, a couple of years ago, Tony, remember, Joe Banner, old Trayton Joe Banner, made that deal. He pulled he pulled the trigger a couple of weeks in on the Richardson deal.
Right. So without Farmer there to preside over those type of transactions, you know, maybe Josh McCown can breathe a little easier that he'll make it through four games.
And Tony, I'm reading into the statement the same way you are, and then I went back and reread it, and to me it seems like he will miss that 1 week following that preseason game leading up to the first game, because it says the suspension will start on midnight of the Sunday preceding the Browns' first regular season game and will end immediately after the Browns' fourth. So.
That's what happened, a week.
So he'll miss the chunk of that week prior to week one.
And that's what happened with Gordon, for instance.
Right.
When he could play the last preseason game, and then he would have to leave. It happened. It didn't happen to Hayden until a week in.
Right.
They let him play the opener that year. But that's right.
Right. So Tony, he'll be around for that final cut, and then the Sunday following that final cut, he'll miss that week of time where there's a lot of revamping to the roster probably, and again, locked in by Wednesday because you want your guys to have a significant part of the game plan and preparation, whoever you bring in prior to week one. Is that correct?
Well, you make a good point now. I got to go back and have that clarified.
No, okay. I think that's it. I think he's
Because if you're a player like Josh Gordon wouldn't practice all week and then miss week one. He'd be gone the entire week, and because that week prior is considered week one.
Yes.
Well, in that case, a lot of the practice squad acquisitions are made.
Right. That's the point that I'm trying to make.
Okay.
Hopefully we can clarify that.
Tony, what does this do to Ray Farmer long term in his career? Is this something you just get over?
Well, he has the mindset to get over it as quickly as possible, and I believe that. This had to happen for them to get past it. This had been hanging over the club and Ray. He's obviously been affected by it. I've seen him twice now at the combine and at the owners' meetings last week, where it's almost like a cloud hanging over his head. So it's good that it's behind him. I think within the building, Jimmy Haslam has made it perfectly clear that there'll be no repercussions beyond what the league imposes, that he's been encouraged and patted on the back to go about his job and forget about it. League-wide, I think there is a stigma attached to this that Ray will be able to overcome, but I think there is. I've never in 30 years encountered a suspension like this or violation like this. But I think he'll be able to overcome it. He's a man of integrity around the league. People I've talked to seem to think this was out of character for him, and it was in his first year and all that. So I think he'll be able to overcome it.
Mm-hmm. Tony, do you believe that Justin Gilbert and Johnny Manziel righting their ship from last year's draft and then drafting equivalently this year and, you know, batting at 50% in this year's draft will help him overcome that as well?
Sure, sure. I mean, they could do Ray a great service and the team and the coaches and their teammates by, doing a 180 on their second season and standing up from day one and being major contributors. Sure. And all of this, over time would be forgotten. But until that happens, until there's some positive news that is directly related to Ray's decisions, this will hang a little bit over him.
Tony, do you believe with the signing of Josh McCown and a question mark surrounding Johnny Manziel that the Browns are in play for a quarterback in this year's draft at any point?
Well, I think at any point, I would assume with 10 picks, and I'm going into this at, you know, we're a month away, right, from the draft.
Right, we are. Yes. Yeah.
And my pulse of things is there won't be a major play for Marcus Mariota or Jameis Winston for that matter. So then you're talking about the next wave of quarterbacks. And I do think there's a greater chance of seeing one of them, whether it's, you know, the third quarterback taken in the draft or the last. I think the Browns are in the hunt for a quarterback in the draft, a developmental quarterback. But I'm almost resigned. I got that feeling 3 days at the owners' meetings talking to everybody involved. There's almost a resignation that there's not going to be a major play for a new quarterback at this stage.
So when you were at the league meetings and we listened in and also read your stuff that came from Arizona on ESPNCleveland.com, there seemed to – not only that, the resignation about the quarterback situation, but there was also an attempt once again to show optimistically that they still believe Manziel, his best football is in front of him.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, depending on how Manziel returns from wherever he's at, I mean, that's the first step.
Sure.
Everyone's, you know, obviously, if he's in fine mental state and in everything, spiritual state, it's a new clean slate for him. And I think the opportunity's there, almost by default, though, because let's face it, it's pretty much confirmed that they made a play for Sam Bradford. And perhaps there were other quarterbacks beyond McCown. But the fact is, at this stage, it's McCown, Manziel, Connor Shaw, and Thad Lewis. And really, the job seems wide open.
Tony, Jim actually asked me this question during the break, prior to coming back, about the young running backs in that room. Yes, we've got Drones, but West and Crowell going into their second year, West having his own little bit of off-the-field trouble, not being as engaged in football last season at a certain point, and being a healthy scratch going into a Sunday. Do the Browns add a veteran via free agency, you know, at some point with whatever's left out there, or are they going to add another young body to that room?
I think if they add, more likely it would be a veteran. But given the experience of Ben Tate last year, they might be a little gun shy, right? It's got to be the right personality mix, or any personality. I think it's very risky to have a position group where you don't have a veteran guy.
I agree.
If nothing else, just for training camp, you know, to do the drills precisely, to convey some kind of professional message. It's very risky not to have that. And I think we might see that. But again, I don't think that would be a major acquisition as Tate was a year ago.
You know what's amazing, Tony, is, and Matt too, is that everyone's been talking about the value of the running back position really not being high right now in the NFL, that the Browns made a critical mistake when they went up so high to get Trent Richardson. You just don't do that for a running back. And yet, in this offseason, because of what Philadelphia did and what Buffalo has done, and New Orleans then had to go do it, Dallas loses this guy, they had to go get a running back. A lot of the major moves in the offseason now have been at the running back position. So for a position that is so not valued right now that you don't go high and get a running back in the draft, everybody sure in this offseason went and got a running back, you know, a veteran running back to have one and to get a pretty good one. I mean, a lot of teams really moved heaven and earth to get running backs. Philadelphia got like three of them.
Yeah. You know, Jimmy, I don't buy that the devaluation of the running back. You know, listen, Trent Richardson's rookie year, he was pretty good.
Yeah, 950
he had 11 touchdowns.
Yards. Yeah, 950 rushing yards. Yeah.
And I don't know what happened the second year, but if he would have expanded on that, who knows? They might have reversed the trend. And hey, the Browns went and got a superstar running back. You know, you got to go get them. You know, generally, they're never traded. Now, this year, we saw what happened. But all right, I had this discussion when they drafted Richardson, and I was all for it. Shermer the year before was exasperated. He couldn't count on a running back to even be on the field in pregame warmups. Sometimes,
absolutely, yeah, right.
Okay,
exactly.
So he went out and got it, and then this idea of a lifespan of a running back is 3 or 4 years. True, you want that running back his first 3 or 4 years in the league. That's when he's at his absolute premium.
Right.
And the only way you're going to do that is by drafting him. So I have never bought that. If Richardson hadn't turned sour, maybe people would be saying, you know, you'll always need a running back.
Okay, so considering what they've done in free agency and what they haven't done in free agency, what still is paramount for them to go get, obviously in the draft or maybe something that's still out there? But let's focus on the draft. Where are you kind of focusing in and saying they've got to address this right away?
Well, the obvious ones are pass rush and the run-stopping defense, whether that's an edge defensive end in the 3-4 who could contain that edge, or if it's the big guy in the middle. Some element of the run defense has to be fortified. The pass rush, come on, after Kruger, it's Mingo and Scott Solomon and perhaps Armonte Bryant trying a conversion there. So, and this draft is really good at the top end of pass rushers. But I think also a forgotten and a minor priority has got to be to groom a center, whether it's a guy that can play guard and you can be confident in if there is another injury. We saw what happened.
Yeah. Oh.
They want swingmen who could play guard and center or tackle and guard. But rather, everyone's talking offensive tackle. I see a bigger need at the interior of the line than the outside.
Well, I mean, I have my Mitchell Schwartz jersey on today, and I'm tired of people taking shots at him. And I know in Tony's mailbag, the Hey Tony section on Sunday, you did get a lot of questions about Alex Mack, right? And is he going to opt out? And then, you know, and what you're right. I mean, that was what a scary thing that was when he went out of that offensive line.
Well, either they rededicate John Greco as the primary backup center, or they find one. That's, and Mike Patton touched on this at the owners' meeting. That's on their radar to address that situation. It doesn't mean you draft him in the first round, but I think it can't be neglected.
Tony, with my last question for you is with last year's wide receiver draft being so deep and so many stars drafted in the first round of the Browns, at the time, in need of a wide receiver and going 0-for, and again, another deep wide receiver draft, if Devontae Parker, Kevin White, or Amari Cooper are available at 12, do you think the Cleveland Browns can still pass on that type of talent at wide receiver?
Well, that's a big question that I can only speculate on. My sense is that they would pass at 12.
Yes.
19 could be different. I think it depends who's left at other positions. Really, that's true at 12 also. If Danny Shelton's there versus Amari Cooper or Kevin White, I think it's a tough call. If it's Devontae Parker, I think that's an easier call in favor of Shelton.
I agree.
At 19, now you're getting down to the third nose tackle and the fifth receiver.
Sure.
So, I think that depends on those specific grades. I do think that, unlike last year, with 10 picks, he's going to select a wide receiver
at least one somewhere.
I think Dwayne Bowe and Hartline, who I think Hartline's the better acquisition, to be honest with you, of those two players. But both of them combined kind of alleviates the priority at number 12. But after that, sure. I mean, you don't want to be passing Odell Beckmans every year.
No, you don't. No. Hey, Tony, before you go, and that is give me your thoughts and your predictions about Hard Knocks. And are the Browns going to be selected as the team? And it would be difficult then to turn it down because Mike Pettine is in his second year as the head coach. What are your feelings about HBO and Hard Knocks coming to Berea?
Well, first of all, the Browns made it clear that they prefer not to be the team
Thank goodness.
Okay. However.
Yeah, but however. There's a however. Yeah,
I know. Okay. I know about the however.
There is no question.
This is Mr. However that's on the line with us.
No question. They are the, I think HBO and NFL Films, whoever's making that choice, considers the Browns the best eligible team. I think what's going to happen is this. I think the Browns, the HBO and the NFL are very understanding of the Browns' concerns about Manziel getting deluged with attention.
Right.
So they're going to let it play out during this offseason where Manziel will return to the team at some point. They'll gauge his mental health, the club. They'll reacclimate him to football. And then when it gets time to make a decision, which is usually in June, I think HBO or NFL Films will pitch the Browns' participation. Hey, this could be a real feel-good comeback story where Manziel,
we're going to look at the new Johnny Manziel,
overcome you know, this terrible offseason trauma, and that might convince the Browns to go along with it. Of course, if the Browns still resist and the NFL says you're on and I said this, even if you're not a Browns fan, if you're just a football fan or a viewer of that show, which is tremendous drama, the Cleveland Browns offer the best storyline. We can't get around that fact.
We're up at the top of the league.
Yes, and, you know, poor us. We're going to be chasing those stories all summer. I'm not looking forward to that because they really get some great stuff.
Who is on Hey Tony tomorrow?
We have an analyst I think you've had on CBD before, Pat Kerwin.
Oh, yes, we have. Phenomenal.
Sirius NFL Radio and CBS, who had some great stuff. All Browns talk tomorrow. Yep. From him, and really astute observations, and it'll be a must listen to.
Yeah, that's great. 8 to 9 tomorrow morning if you want to hear it live. That's over on 1540 KNR2, or it will be up on the website, right, Tony?
ESPNCleveland.com and the mobile app. Cleveland app.
There you go.
All right. I'll tell you what, Pat Kerwin is, I get educated listening to the Pat Kerwin show, and I know you told him that for me. I asked you to do that, right?
Yeah. And his response was, hey, we just tried to talk football.
And that's what he does.
And it is like Cleveland Browns Daily, it's pure football.
There you go.
That's right, Tony. Thank you.
All right, everybody, back in your office. He's done. There, Tony Grossi is finished up. Thank you, Tony.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you, Tony.
Well, what do you think about that, HBO's?
I am not in favor.
Yeah, but nobody's in favor.
No, I know.
Let me tell you this, as a viewer, that show needs something like this. I mean, the Browns don't need it, but that show needs. Last year they had the Atlanta Falcons, and it was
boo-hoo.
I think the year before that they had the Bengals.
Yeah,
they've had the Bengals a couple of times.
Yes, they have.
All right, we're going to continue. Andrew Gribble will join us at the bottom of the hour, which is soon. Thanks to Tony Grossi. Great segment as we continue on Cleveland Browns Daily right here on ESPN 850 WKNR.